Aaron Pribble has joined us on Sports Byline. He has authored a book, but he is a teacher right now, a former minor league baseball player, and he has authored the book Pitching in the Promised Land, a story of the first and only season in the Israel Baseball League. You know, when I read about this book and started kind of looking through it a little bit, I was fascinated by it. It's something that I don't know what I expected. What do you think most people expect out of a book like this?
That's a good question. I think some people are really interested in the baseball angle, and some people are really interested in the fact that it's in the Middle East. So the way that I like to conceive of the book is Bull Durham in Tel Aviv. It's got all the Bull Durham stuff. It's got all the baseball stuff and the antics that you would expect, but it's America's pastime in the Holy Land. And because of that, it makes for a really weird combination. Things like Dr. Ruth, the sex doctor, throwing out a first pitch at a ball game. When does that happen, you know?
Let's go back to your baseball career a little bit, the one in the United States. Tell everybody what that background is, Aaron.
Well, I started playing right here in the Bay Area. I got a scholarship to pitch at the University of Hawaii. Pitched 4 years out there. My senior year ended up leading the team in ERA, and I did not get drafted. Everybody's got a story about why they didn't or what happened, and so I went out and tried to make it work in the independent leagues. And at the end of that summer in 2002, I hooked up with the Sonoma Crushers of the Western League and ended up playing for one of my boyhood idols, Kevin Mitchell, and that was a heck of an experience. Yeah.
When did it come to an end for you, baseball in this country?
I played two seasons of independent ball. One for the Crushers and then one in the South in Jackson, Mississippi and San Angelo, Texas. And then I played one summer in France overseas.
What was that like?
That was an incredible experience as well. It's not really professional baseball, but they can have like two or three foreign people per year. You can't have a pitcher-catcher combination. So basically you can have one American who's either catching or who's pitching or something like that. And, you know, like everything in Europe, it's a little bit different. So they take a vacation in the middle of the summer. People just stopped playing baseball for 6-8 months, and that was so foreign to me. But at the same time, it's a great way to see the world.
I had a friend of mine that played professional hockey in France, and he said he knew it was a different game over there. He said between periods, the players would be smoking and drinking wine.
Exactly.
And he said when they take off their uniform pants, he said they had silk shorts.
Right. A similar story like that. I'm dining with my roommate but his dad out on this farm, and I got a pitch that day. It's a Saturday. And so we're there having lunch, and right as we walk in, my buddy, of course, in French, whispers to me, "Now my dad's going to serve wine, and if you don't drink it, he'll be really offended." So I'm sitting there. I know I got a pitch in like 2 hours, and he's pouring me the Chardonnay or the Pinot or whatever, and try pitching with a few glasses under your belt, you know?
Tell me a little bit about baseball in Europe. We know what it's like in Japan, and we know what it's like in Korea. We know what it's like in the United States, of course, and then down into the South American regions in the Caribbean as well. But what about Europe and over in the Middle East?
They're trying really hard to grow baseball in Europe. And as a matter of fact, Major League Baseball Europe is really starting to do some cool things. They've just had their first three players sign professional contracts out of France in the last couple of years. I was just over there visiting some old teammates about 3 weeks ago, and they were telling me some neat stories about how guys are just starting to get signed. In Spain, the baseball's pretty good. In Italy, it's pretty good as well. In the Netherlands, France is so-so. You know, they have the European Championship every year, in which I played when I was there in Germany, in Cologne, Germany. It's doing all right. You know, I think that there's so many places to tap, as we've seen with the NBA, you know, in the basketball game, that I think they're really trying to look there for some talent.
In the Middle East, the only baseball I know of is the Little League teams that come out of Saudi Arabia and come to Williamsport, Pennsylvania, to play in the Little League World Series. Anywhere else in the Middle East is it played?
Nowhere else. And, of course, those are mostly American guys who are playing. We had grand hopes of starting it in Israel and having it spread to maybe the West Bank or Palestine or to Jordan, those places. But to my knowledge, it's just Israel.
Tell me a little bit about how that league, the Israel Baseball League, got started.
It was the brainchild of a businessman on the East Coast named Larry Barris. And he was well known for the cream cheese filled bagel. He was Jewish, and he created the cream cheese filled bagel and had some success with it. And he wanted to spread joy to the people of Israel because he was a huge fan of Israel through the game of baseball. He loved baseball. He thought, I'm going to combine two of my passions, baseball and Israel in the Middle East, and I'm going to put them together. And so he thought, what the heck, let's make it work.
And it only lasted, what, the 1 year, 2007?
It just lasted that one year, a couple of months, for better or for worse. It was a heck of a ride while we were there, but it ultimately had some financial difficulties and had to fold. However, they've tried a couple of times. It seems every other year they keep trying to start the thing back up again. So there were some rumblings just this year that they were trying to find some financial backing to do it again.
Aaron Preble is with us in the studio. We're talking about his book, Pitching in the Promised Land, a story of the first and only season in the Israel Baseball League. For you, this was a journey, and I'm not talking about climbing on an airplane and going to the Middle East. This was really a kind of find-yourself journey, because I saw in a story in which you said that you were unsure of your talents and uncomfortable with your heritage when you began. Your mother is Jewish. And so tell me a little bit about that uncomfortableness.
Absolutely. I don't know if uncomfortable is the right word, but certainly unsure. My mom's Jewish and my dad's not. So my grandma, my dad's mom, was born on a ranch, on a cattle ranch in Arizona. So we'd go there every year. I used to ride horses, got the cowboy hat and the boots and the whole deal. Both of that is part of who I am. So we like to refer, my brother and I like to refer to each other as the redneck Jew boys kind of deal. So Israel was really the intersection of my religious and my athletic identities. I had never had a bar mitzvah, but I still identified as being Jewish, or at least part Jewish. So I really got to explore who I was, not only as a baseball player, but also as a Jew. I had kind of scraped the bottom of the barrel of the minor leagues. I knew I had had some experience there, and I was kind of Jewish. So I got to go to Israel to explore both. So certainly a journey of self-discovery.
It's one thing, as you know, Aaron, to scratch an itch, and I'm talking about the baseball itch, but it's another one to be realistic, especially when you go into that part of the world. So I'm just wondering, what was it that triggered your decision to go over and take on this adventure?
No doubt. Well, I think we all have dreams, and some of us get closer than others. My dream ever since I was a little kid was to play professional baseball, and I had reached that dream to an extent. I had played parts of two summers. It also helped that since I had hung up the spikes and got a real job since I was teaching, I had this summer vacation. So I was actually in Hawaii visiting my old coach, who's this short little Japanese guy, and he told me about this league being started in Israel, and I kind of thought he was joking. I thought he was giving me a hard time because I'm a bigger guy and we like to give each other some fun. And I went back and I looked at this league, and I thought, you know what, I've got 2 months in the summer. The first thing I did was I pulled up the schedule, and then I pulled up my teaching schedule, and I realized it was sandwiched right in between my summer vacation. So I thought, I don't have a better idea. You know, for 2 months, I'm going to go out there and try to play.
What did you expect it to be like, and how was it similar to or different from it?
I didn't really have a whole lot of expectations going into the thing. The league did a great job on the front end work. They had six teams and team names and jerseys and tickets. They had a draft held on ESPN. Jeremy Schatt was the reporter and the guy who led this draft. And I forget where I was drafted, but it certainly wasn't first for my team. And they had a lot of good press coverage leading up to it. So they had done a lot of really good stuff. It was getting press in the New York Times, for example. And so I thought there was a lot to be excited about. When they announced that these players from the Dominican were coming out, I knew that the league was going to be legit, or at least somewhat legit, because we could have filled the entire league with Dominicans. There's some really good talent there.
What were the facilities like?
The diplomatic answer or the...
No,
or
the honest one.
Okay, let's see. There were ultimately three baseball fields in Israel, one of which was legit, was a very good field. It was tended by these missionaries from Texas. And so it was pristine, a beautiful, beautiful field called Hayar Cone. That's the best thing I can say about it. Our second field was a converted softball field, and which meant they had to move the fence up the hill in right field, so you had to run up the hill. But that also meant that the light pole in right field was now in front of the fence. And so, you know, they were worried about guys running into it. So what's their answer? They literally duct taped a mattress to the light pole in right field. And, of course, they had a warning track, but instead of the warning track being right near the fence, the warning track is halfway in the outfield now. And, of course, it's softball dimensions, so it's not a skin infield. We have some grass, but instead of changing where the dirt on the infield is, they just move the bases back to right by the cutout. So that's the second field, and that was on a kibbutz gezer. Now, we only started the season with two fields. The third field was supposed to go right outside Tel Aviv, called Sport Tech. However, they ran into some problems because where they were planning on building the field was cherished soccer ground. These African immigrants and people who would come out on the during the weekdays to play were incensed. They were irate. They were apoplectic that they were going to build a baseball field on their turf. So there was a, literally and figuratively a turf war. And the mayor of Tel Aviv, who was just recently elected, had to intervene, and they ultimately decided to build the field 2 weeks into the season.
Sounds like some stories that Tommy Lasorda told me when he was managing down in the Dominican Republic. He said when it would rain down there, he said they needed to get the game in, and he said that they would have to dry the field. He said, so one day, he said they put gasoline out there on the field to try to dry it, and it burned down the outfield fences.
That is really funny that you mentioned that story, because in the book, In Pitching in the Promised Land, we do the exact same thing. There's a chapter called Rain Out in the Desert. We show, but it hadn't rained for months. It hadn't rained since we've been there, but the field is soaking wet. I mean, there are literally puddles all over the infield, and we're thinking, what the heck happened? Did it rain at night? We had no idea. Turns out that the sprinklers had been turned on somehow, because Friday mornings, of course, we played 6 days a week. You can't play on Shabbat. Of course you can't play on Shabbat. So Friday mornings we had to play early in order to get the game in. So the sprinkler system was malfunctioning. What are we going to do? We had to get the game in. My buddy Nate Fish and I go try to find the gasoline from the concession stand, drag it out to the field. We were apprehended midway through, and needless to say, we didn't set the field on fire, but I know what you're talking about.
We're talking about a wonderful book called Pitching in the Promised Land, a story of the first and only season in the Israel Baseball League, with the author and a man that pitched in that league, Aaron Pribble. We'll continue across the country and around the world on Sports Byline.